get in the game.
All right, we're back for hour two of the game. John and Tyler, Grant filling in for Mitch today, who's MIA. Missed out on hearing my WrestleMania hot takes. Hopefully we can do that tomorrow when he gets back, I suppose. I'll let you know if I hear anything from him.
I was glad because I would not have gotten to talk at all in that segment if you were just giving him to Mitch and he was reacting to it. But now I got to. So,
well, the wrestling faction of fans that we have out there will be happy because, believe it or not, some of the times, but really we get like more tweets about people being happy about wrestling talk than almost anything else. So if you want us to not talk about wrestling, you should start tweeting right away to try and counter those that that do tweet when we talk about it.
We should have done why do we think of great ideas after the fact? We should have posted some sort of a tweet or Facebook update on April 1st that said that, you know, effective immediately, we are transitioning our show into a two-hour wrestling show permanently. Could have been an April Fool's joke. It would have gone over pretty well, I think.
Well, one, your definition of great idea and mine might be a little bit off. And number two, the show on Friday damn near turned into that.
Yeah. That was my fault. Yes.
Alex Barnes is going to be on at 5:25, conversation from earlier. Me, some of the other media members asked him a lot of questions. He was great. Addressed some of the transfer rumors from the offseason, as well as what was going on with his injuries at the end of the year last year. It was weird, the runaround we were getting in press conferences trying to figure that out, so it was nice to finally get some light shed on that. But here in the open, we're going to talk about the quarterback situation. Bill Snyder has an update on Jesse Ertz. He had shoulder surgery in the offseason. We saw that when he walked out at one of the basketball games with the team. He had his shoulder in a sling. The update on him and why I think that actually could be a blessing in disguise. But first things first, I just commented to you off-air about this, but that tweet that I sent out, like I sent all these tweets from the press conference today, like really nice info, good K-State football info, and it's like, you know, four or five people may like them, a response here or there or something. Dude, I took just on my way out, I was like, oh yeah, well, there's that wall. I guess like I could tweet a picture of this. I mean, it doesn't really mean all that much to me, but I feel like maybe just since I'm here, I'll throw it out there. That has like 53 people like that, and every time I look at Twitter, I'm getting more notifications. But it's a grainy picture of the wall that's not complete. People just eat this up.
Yeah, they do. They do. Because like I said, there were two things that K-State fans really wanted to see at K-State sports venues, and one of them was the limestone wall around the field that they'll get a chance to see this season. The other one, hopefully it happens at some point, but that's seeing Tex Winter's name, or the court at Bramlage Coliseum named after Tex Winter would be the other one probably.
But why can't it be Jacob Pullen Court?
No, sorry.
What about Frank Martin?
Yeah, what about Frank Martin Court?
the Court of Frank.
The Court of Frank, yeah. See, that's a great idea. The Court of Frank. I agree. Thank you, you two. That was nice. The alley from Grant and the mm-hmm. oop from Tyler.
Yeah.
The Court of Frank. I will address the Cult of Frank coming to an end at 5:40, at least for now. Yeah, I'm just surprised. But like, on the list of things that I would want to see, I mean, the wall's cool. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to run down the wall. It just, to me, is a blip on the radar screen, and it seems like people are more excited about it than I am. If we're going to go, like, list of things that need to be done, I was half kidding about the Jacob Pullen thing, but, like, let's retire number 0.
Yeah.
Let's retire number 30 for Michael Beasley, who was that's unanimous All-American.
One. Yeah, I know.
Should have been the player of the year.
It'll
I think
be
he
harder.
May have gotten one or two, but Tyler Hansborough stole some of those from him.
Yeah.
Dude, Jacob Pullen for sure.
Yes.
Get that up there, man.
Yeah.
Like, get Jake's number up in the rafters. Get it up there before we lose him more than we already have.
It'll be a tougher sell on Beasley.
Yeah, I know it would, but I think he deserves it for the year that he had, the year that he spent here. I think in today's day and age in college hoops, especially at a place like here where you just don't have it as much, and he's a recruiting tool, like he's a person that a lot of people have heard of. If you have that in the rafters, it's a nice thing to point up to.
I think
this is a topic for another day.
I think within five years we'll see Poland's name up there.
Okay. Well, let's hope. I'm sure everyone in the athletic department's listening to the show and they've taken this into careful consideration. So as far as football goes, one of the big, and if you I will play this again if you are just joining us. This was Bill Snyder earlier today, an update on where he's at with his cancer treatment.
Nothing you always want to hear, but by the same token, it is what it is, so you have to deal with it.
I'm finished with all the treatments, just kind of going through the after effects right now, and then, you know, you get tested again in a while down the road, a few months.
That was the long and short of what he had to say. He didn't get too far into anything about his health and the health situation. Did say he's done some work outside of the office. That's one thing that's had to take place. If you missed any of the conversation, check the podcast page, newsradiokman.com, in the on-demand tab. The other thing that I thought was going to be really interesting to hear what he had to say was not only Jesse Ertz's status, because I think we assumed going into it he's not going to do much in the spring after just having shoulder surgery, but then how does that affect the two guys behind him who are Alex Delton and Skylar Thompson? Now all of a sudden they get a big opportunity with a lot of reps. So here is Bill Snyder on Jesse Ertz's status and where things sit at the quarterback situation right now.
He'll be out, if not part of the spring, all of the spring, and we might just, if he's ready to go towards the end of the spring, we still might hold him just for safety's sake. Right now, you know, we've got three youngsters, Delton and Hall and Thompson, that are working. Alec, of course, having a little bit of experience from last year, is working at the number one spot right now, taking the vast majority of the reps.
Nothing really surprising in any of that information. I had pretty much written off in my mind getting anything out of Jesse Ertz in the spring as far as him playing in the spring game, being out there on the field. Like, there's no reason to. And part of why I say there's no reason to is because I really think this in a lot of ways is a blessing in disguise on a lot of different fronts, more than just the obvious. The obvious is you get more reps in spring ball for the guys that probably need them more in Alex Delton and Skylar Thompson. In particular, Skylar Thompson, and I don't want to just gloss over Alex Delton. He's been a darling for a while with fans and us in the media, and I'm not saying that he can't be a guy that plays quarterback here, but the future everyone thinks is Skylar Thompson. The right now clearly is Jesse Ertz. He's wedged somewhere in between and has almost left that area where he's a shining bright star, a shiny toy that we're – there's a lot of those on the offense right now, and he seems to be caught in between as far as the quarterbacks go. He's had more reps. Skylar Thompson is not, especially for him. Just being able to get the younger guys more reps with the number ones is a big factor here. Number ones, number twos, you know, they're moving up the line. Right now it's Delton with the ones, of course, but just getting more reps with basically the better tools on offense, I think, can only help those guys in their development, which is really what you want the spring for anyway.
And, I mean, I think that you could add to that, it just makes even more sense that Alex Delton did not consider the position change because, again, if K-State is going to be a Big 12 contender this year, you've got to have someone behind Jesse Ertz that you feel would be capable of doing a serviceable job if he were called upon, and Alex Delton certainly could be that. But along with pointing out the positives here, I think that you do have to say that there are some negatives as well, and I think the biggest one is Jesse Ertz continuing to build that relationship, that chemistry with the receivers that he has, not to mention the notable newcomer in Carlos Strickland. Not having that opportunity to work with them in the spring will hurt a little bit, because we saw that in that first game against Stanford, granted against a very good defense, there just was not a lot of clicking going on between the quarterback and the receivers, and you don't want to get off to that kind of a start again this season, especially since you'll have another tough non-conference road game with Vanderbilt.
Well, I will say most of what you said I think is true and is a concession that I'll make here. Like, it's not necessarily ideal from that standpoint. It's not all perfect because, right, yes, you would rather have them just continue to develop consistency. I would go ahead and probably strike Carlos Strickland from the record because – just judge it. I did ask Bill Snyder about Carlos Strickland today. We'll play the audio later on in the week. We could talk more about it. It's exactly what you'd expect him to say. He's very athletic, brings a lot of things to the table, but is still trying to figure everything out right now. Highly doubt that he's practicing with the ones. Like, I don't think that Jesse Ertz would have had any, just a little bit probably of work with him in the spring just because Jesse's going to be with the ones. And he's further on down the line. So I don't know that that's all that big of a factor. But, yes, continuing to work with Pringle, Heath, Sutton, you know, all those guys, Zuber, that they have at receiver right now. I mean, that is something that would be nice to have. I just think getting the opportunity for Thompson, Delton behind him is a huge plus, giving them more of a chance. You know, but another aspect here as far as Jesse Ertz is concerned is that think about how many times he has been hurt in his career. He had the major knee injury coming out of high school. He obviously had the knee injury the first play of the 2015 season. Even when he came back and played this year, He missed time with injuries and battled that shoulder all year. I don't want to say he's made of glass, but he has been fairly frail in his football career. And it's not that they're going to be going out there hitting all the time in spring ball, but a little less wear and tear on his body in the spring is not the worst thing in the world when you're just trying to preserve what he's got in him for as long as possible. I mean, I realize you're laughing, but there's only a certain amount of miles on somebody's tires, and especially as much as you run a quarterback like you do at K-State, just any less physical punishment that I think his body could absorb is not the worst thing in the world.
I agree with you. I do think that you make some very valid points there. I laugh because what that argument sounds like is, well, thank goodness he's hurt, so that way he doesn't get hurt. You know, it's just kind of a weird way to look at it. Like, I'd rather have him missing time because of something else instead of he's actually recovering from a real injury. But I see what you're saying there. And as far as his health is concerned, if he's going to be injured somewhere, you would probably rather have it be in the upper body versus the lower body with his legs, because at least if he has his legs under him, he's still able to do some things for you. If he has another knee injury, he can't be out there at all for you.
Well, at a certain point, and I understand why it sounds funny. Yes, I'm glad he's hurt because you don't want him to get hurt. What? But there is an aspect of trying to save yourself. And I was actually just hearing this debate amongst it was an argument about NBA guys. I can't remember if it was Bomani Jones, one of the national guys that I like to listen to. Maybe it's Lebatard. But they were talking about how Kobe Bryant broke down at the end of his career. They were talking about the Spurs, how the Spurs had so much longevity and they would rest guys and figure that out and they'd be still playing well late in their career, whereas Kobe just went. You weren't going to tell him to rest. His body broke down then like you'd expect it to at the end of an NBA career. Sometimes you need somebody to step in and actually tell you against your own will, like, hey, why don't you sit down, take it easy? The injury in this case is that force. Like, that's what's forcing you to take a step back here. I'm not sure that this is some giant effect that's going to really help him be fresh for the season. I'm just saying don't discount the fact that that is a way to look at a positive spin here on his injury situation.
That's a good example, I think. And you could also probably throw in, especially this week, given what's going on later this week, Tiger Woods, you could maybe say the same thing with how hard he was on his body early in his career. And now I'm really not sure if he's ever going to play at a high level again.
Yeah, very true. Another good example. I would agree with that. So you'd rather, in a perfect world, probably have Jesse Ertz there. But I think a big part of the jump from year one to year two that we've seen with a lot of these quarterbacks is just simply knowing the offense better. He can still train the mental side of everything. And he's still, they were telling us he's out there at practice. It's not like he's just holed up in a dorm room somewhere, not actually there. He's there. He's at practice. He can take mental reps. He can work with Colin Klein. He can dive into the playbook and still, I think, take the big step from year one to year two, come back next year with a healthy shoulder, a body that hasn't taken any kind of a hit in a long time, since the last end of the season, like December, and be okay. I don't think it will really affect things all that much. And then if he were to go down during the year, you're probably in a better situation backup-wise.
Fair.
That's my case here. So that is how, my friends, you do take an injury and a surgery to the quarterback that means so much to your team and spin it into a positive. That was like wacky and stormy stuff right there. I should have.
Thank goodness he's hurt so he can't get hurt.
I'm glad that you dumbed it down to that. That's that's pretty good. Wacky and stormy here on the Sports Massacre. Wacky and stormy on the Sports Massacre today. 5:50, you can't be serious. I will address Colt DeFrank taking a tough one on Saturday at 5:40. But coming up next, had a chance to talk with Alex Barnes, not only myself, but some of the other media members. Did he really come close to transferring this offseason, as was rumored? He'll tell you next on The Game.